Do you get my point? What is liberating you now is the entrance of the word of God. That is what brings life to your soul. And what is light? It shows you what you can become. Walk before me and be perfect. That's what God is saying. As for the covenant I held your ancestors, it's irrelevant now. So, look, I want to tell Christians. The problem is that Christians, they love, you know, that's what I call the exercise of the human soul. It's very exciting. You know, maybe they tell you you're overweight, you're fat. Then you jog for 1 week. Every time you're going out, they say, ah, my legs. You know, you're feeling very happy. But you won't lose weight in 1 week. Oh. Are you getting my point? But human beings love it. It is painful, you know. When they say that today the problem will be over, then you stay up all night. In the morning, you feel, your soul feels like, I deserve the freedom. Listen to me. That's why men love bondage. Now, you know, I went to all of that just to explain something. Let me quickly summarize it. This is the point. Real deliverance, all right, is a continuous process. There's an instantaneous deliverance when you give your life to Christ. But the experience of it, all right, it shows up in your life gradually. God changes the way you think. Because lack of vision is number one way the devil used to keep people down. That is, in my opinion, one of the most important messages I've preached in recent times is to explain what the true reward of the Christian is. Because when people have this reward, my own personal give me more money reward mentality, the nation never becomes great. Are you getting my point? Now, when people have a different vision, once you have a new vision like that, God's spirit inside you, all right, is now set free to make you become something bigger than you ever dreamed you could be. That's why you hear it. Go and read the scriptures very well. When they sent it to John the Baptist, when John the Baptist sent to Jesus, and Jesus gave a reply back to him, he said, go and tell John what both see and hear. All right? The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. He said all of that. He said, but the poor, they don't become rich. They have the gospel preached to them. That was a sign of breakthrough. That they can now experience the gospel. That God cannot let them see that I don't have to die like this. I can go somewhere different. That was their own breakthrough. Jesus was not doing miracles of money. So once you become rich tomorrow. No. You are poor. Come and hear the gospel. He said the poor have the gospel preached to them. What that means is that if they attend to that word, their generations after them will not know poverty. Now, I know I went sideways a bit. Just let me explain something. Now, talking about people getting ready for their time, all right? That's why I went into that. Now, a lot of preachers, some people who preach some funny doctrines today, I know their history, and I know they know better than this. There are people you know that, look, listen, we're all brought up on the word of faith. This thing you are preaching now cannot be true. You know it can't be true. Because if it is true, every other thing is a lie. And those things, you cannot tell me that you think they are lies. But why do they preach them? It's simple. It draws the crowd. I went to minister the other day. You know, at a particular denomination, they had a major program. And I was talking to one of the people. This guy was like my host, and we're discussing. And he said something. I had to tell him that, look, you guys don't do that. He said that, the person who started this program, the teaching meetings used to be twice a day, but we reduce it to once a day. Now in the evening, we bring men like this because they draw the crowd. We found out that, listen to this, this kind of teaching, where people like you, they teach, it doesn't draw crowd. And I was being honest with this course, and I said, look, you are making a great mistake. This thing will eventually die. And then when you hear the crowd drawing message, it's not the simple gospel of Jesus. It is all the witches that are chasing you. Tonight, they are going to die. You know, Africans will fill that place. Go and preach that message in Europe. Nobody will come. But when you find Africans, you understand? They will gather. Now, please, try and interpret this in the proper, righteous, what they call it, way. The time that people like those preachers who abandoned the truth that we were raised up on, the time they will be needed, they will no longer be useful. Hear ye the word of the Lord. The time is about to come. that in Christianity in Nigeria, if you are not grounded and solid in the truth of God, your church will be empty within a year. You will want to kill evil spirits. Nobody will come to have them killed. You will say, all my enemies die. They said they are all dead, yet our lives are not changed. Yeah, people will tell you. Not listen, you know why? Because people are praying that thing into existence. And people that God raised up, that when that time will come, you must be there to feed people. He said the mouth of the priest should hold knowledge. People should come to him and gain understanding. But men have sold it because of money. That time will come, they won't be useful. You know the point I'm making? Moses, he was raised up to be something. The time he was stirred up in his soul, he was not popular. The people he was supposed to deliver, they didn't want to hear him. Very important. Because the time this guy was saying, we no go gree, we no go gree, the Israelites were saying, what is wrong with this boy? For 9 they say, man, Moses was around our yards today. Man, the guy just causing problems. These are the people that he was trying to deliver. And they're discussing him. This boy just causing problems. Have we come to him to complain? That's when God called him and said, boy, come. Before you scatter everything, disappear first. Go and wait. A time will come, these people will not be able to sleep. They will be crying for deliverance. I'll call you back that time. What have I tried to say here? Whatever you were born with, whatever you were born to be, all right? Don't lose it. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Be careful. Like I say all the time, I was a young boy and I saw Papi Lulu, for those of us from the West. Palue. At least you remember Village Headmaster, New Masquerade. All those people, they were acting and acting and acting. They did not make money. Life is not about making money. I hope you hear what I said. Life is not about making money. All right? But now, every little boy that knows how to say two lines without missing his words, he becomes a millionaire. Now everybody wants to be an actor. Then a lot of people, that their own destiny, the time of shining, the time they will be able to affect the lives of people, is in about 20 years' time. Now they have gone into acting. When that time comes, they won't be found. You are getting the point I'm making. Listen, we must be careful that we don't throw away the gift that God placed in us just because we were born before. And that's the way it is. You will be born before the time you are needed. Nobody is going to give you life at the time you are needed. You will have been raised literally for decades before the time you are needed. Another point I should make is, sometimes with those of us who are analyzing business, we tell lies. We sit down and analyze the life of Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, as if the young man is intelligent. The guy is an average American. Don't be deceived. Let's leave that. We're talking to Christians. Now, because we're talking to Christians, let me use other examples. And this is the one I like to use all the time, especially for pastors. When I was a young Christian on campus those days, we thought there was a trick to growing a church of 1 million people, because that was what young Icho did. Let me say it to you again. It's a lie. Some people won't like what I want to say, but I will say it to you. Young Icho cannot do that in Nigeria. Some people won't believe it. They will say, I don't have faith. But I will say it to those of you who bother to think about what I'm saying. He can't. God is not even counting his multitude. He's counting his faithfulness. Let me explain something to you. A typical, normal Pentecostal church in South Korea has 100,000 members. Either they are all good pastors in South Korea, but there's something about them that's different. I heard this story. I don't know if that's his brother or cousin. Young Icho's relative, one guy, all right, who was a pastor, maybe under him, and went and started another church. His membership, as a mother, maybe like 15 years ago, was 100,000 people. Large number is their normal thing there. Why is it like that? Listen, I don't know. It could be a Korean culture. Do you understand? Everybody has his culture. Let me give you an example. I told you this before. When I was in university, all right, I went to university, the school, University of Benin. And, I mean, that was when I grew up inside Western Nigeria. You understand? Apart from the traders who came to town, I didn't have friends who were Igbos, and those traders were not my mates, all right? When I went to the University of Benin was when I first mixed with people who were from the East, all right? So that at the end of the day, if you name my best friends in school, my best man is an Igbo man. If I offend my wife today, the person he will call is an Igbo man. You understand what I'm saying? So that's how I ended the university. I started hearing words like village. Now you say, you never hear village before. Somebody said, I go village. Where I come from, people don't go to village. I don't know how to explain it more than that. People don't go to village. Nobody comes from villages. They come from towns. You know why? It's a culture. Later when I came to town, my friend, the one I was mentioning earlier, his wife is an architect. He was reading one of the books they read in the school that a man said that in Nigeria, the culture of urbanization started from the West. There, they have a culture of urbanization. They don't live in villages the way we live in villages in the East here. Traditionally, that's why from time, you see the traditional rulers have always been big men. You hear of Alaafin of Oyo, Oni of Ifo, Olowo of Owo, Deji of Akure, you know? Because they have always had very large towns. Why? It's just a culture. Not as if they are better people or inferior people. It's just their culture. They always congregated and then from there, traveled to their farms. So they had farmsteads where they went to go and farm during the week. I think those days when I would go, maybe my father and I would go, and they say, I want to go and see somebody. They say, ask her, they said the person went to the farm. And I'll be hearing that someone went to the farm, and it's 9 p.m. So I'll be thinking like, do they farm at night? It was when I grew up, I understood. He went to the farm on Monday. He's not coming back till Saturday. Do you understand the point? But he has a house in town. Maybe he's a cocoa farmer, he's a big farmer. He has a house in town. That's just the culture. So when I came over here, and when I went to the University of Benin, so my friend would tell me that, I said, must all of you come from villages? Do you understand? It was when I finally first, after I graduated, went to go and visit my friend, the one that was my best man. It was around here about 2 weeks ago. Went to go and visit him in Umuahia. So he now left Umuahia and then went to go and see his father in the village. Was when I finally understood. Because where I come from, a village is a village. Here, a village can have a mansion. I actually went to his father's house and saw the big house inside the village. I said, okay, no wonder these boys all actually come from villages. Just a different culture. And of course, when I finally started living in Enugu, they said, we are going for either wedding or burial. They said, it is just down that place. I'm not full anymore. When you reach that place, when you get off the main road, your journey begins. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, I just want to explain something here. A different what? Culture. Let's go back to what I was trying to explain. So maybe South Koreans have a different culture. Maybe. It may not be because they have more Christians. It may be. Not what I'm saying. May. I'm just trying to give you something, all right? A possible explanation. But another thing is that, go and read the story of Yonggi Cho well. He did not convert those people. They were assemblies of God. People have been working there for decades before he showed up. Other men labored. But you are entering into the harvest. You are getting what I'm going to explain. You know why I'm saying all of this? So that you don't look at yourself as an osabi. Some people look and say, young people in Nigeria, you are not serious. Mark Zuckerberg at the age of 20, how old is he now? He's a billionaire. You mean I'm not moved. One thing I'm sure is that he can't write a book titled Great Faith Can Be Yours. Do you follow the point I'm making? And let me say this again. A generation is coming, and that now is, I believe, in Nigeria, all right? When a typical sensible businessman will be making a turnover of $1 billion in a year, and it's nothing strange. He won't come and tell me, Pastor, do you know last year we did 1 billion? I'm like, you did 1 billion. Hey, Olayinka, come. How much did you do? Hey, you, how much did you do? Dechukwu, come. How much did you do? I'll just be calling people all over the place. Say, will you shut up with your 1 billion? I'll slap you now. Get out of my friend. People are doing 10 billion regularly. I come to give me testimony of 1 billion. The time will come. You hear what I said? The time will come. At that time, now listen to me. Those who God will use will have been prepared now. It is not now business, you know. Time for business. Oh boy, business they make come for Nigeria. You go jam. Now listen. Some things will have been in place Let me give you an example. In the name of Jesus Christ, we will solve power problems in Nigeria.
Amen.
Those who will make money were those who endured with generators. I don't know whether you hear what I said. I don't know whether you got what I said there. Those who will make it then in business were those who were able to stand the time they had to use generators. Because they had learned how to trim, how to manage, how to cut off needless excess load. So that by the time you now give them power, all they need to do is pay some bills. The money they are saving on power generation alone is profit. But those who waited till there's power to start business, listen, there are things you just can't learn by praying and by reading books. No, there are things you can't learn. You have to learn them on the field. There are things you will not learn except you have been, you know, they don't grind you. You understand my point? You have been on the air. There are times that all the money you have, not just to buy diesel, the business did not go down. Then one day when power is just flowing anyhow, you're already used to it. You get my point? The money you were using to power your equipment earlier, suddenly that's profit. Please, I hope I'm connecting with you. I hope you're following the point I'm making. Young wife, young husband, now so a bit, you know, anytime once you open you want to read your mails, everything, you must only, every week you will get one major celebrity that's divorcing somebody. The one I saw yesterday, I don't even bother reading the story, it not concern me, you understand? That is not news, it's not newsworthy. He said Tom Cruise is divorcing, whether he married the person in the first place, you don't even know, self. I do, you know, they're always divorcing. And let me explain something to you again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Young man, young woman. The first few years, you two, you go get the temptation to divorce. So. Not that you are wicked, though. Your partner that's wicked. Amen? You are a very nice person. You are holy. Righteous. Is this woman thou givest me? Or this husband thou forces me to marry? Or thou givest me to? I don't know what you're following what I'm saying. But this is the issue. The time you will start enjoying it is when you have learned the lessons on how to endure. That is, when you hear some things that some people are fighting over, you say, so that one are cause for quarrel. You see why frown face? What happened? It was my birthday. What happened? He traveled. He didn't buy anything. So no old men like us. You come and say, wife, they call your wife. Your birthday, 15 years ago, what happened? On my birthday, you were preaching. You didn't even see that I dressed up for my birthday. What did happen? Nothing, no. The other day, by the time we tell you a few stories of worse things than husband forgetting your birthday, and you see we are still happy and joyful. I hope you have followed what I'm trying to explain. And we'll give you encouragement. What am I saying? Early days, you may have rough times. If you endure the rough times, when God is bringing victory later, you'll be there waiting to enjoy it. But Americans, no, they're not like them. Irreconcilable differences. What's the difference? He wants to drive a yellow car, I want to drive a black car. And the two cars are irreconcilable. You go look them and say, Jesus is my Lord. Now, never see wahala. All right, the Lord is good. Now, what have I said in all of that? Okay? And that's the point, the fact that, listen, the time you have a stirring inside you, all right? The time your gift will be, demanding to be expressed outside, all right? You may not have an environment that's ready to receive it. Do you get my point? Your manner of preaching, if you're a preacher, people may not be drawing all the crowd, don't worry. Don't change what you are doing because somebody else is doing something else that are drawing the crowd. Because Moses had the gift, he had the calling. God wired his inward parts to deliver the people of Israel, but they were not ready for him. But the time is coming that they will be ready. Are you getting what I'm saying? The time is coming that God created you to exist in, that is to manifest in. That time is coming and it is vital you don't lose your individuality, your uniqueness, the thing that makes you you when that time will come. Because if by that time you have lost it, you have become what? Useless. That's one lesson we must learn from that matter of Moses. Now, you remember I was saying that There was those many days. In the course of those many days, the Bible says, events were beginning to happen. God spoke to Moses to go out and go into the wilderness, but he didn't say anything to him for the next few decades. In that period, one king died, another one was crowned in Egypt. In that period, many things happened. And oftentimes, what happens is that people get frustrated. Or the Lord has led me in this way, and you are very sure. And another thing I should quickly correct in the mind of Christians, all right, is that the fact that God led you into something doesn't mean that thing will feel nice. Did you hear what I said? The fact that God said, marry this woman, doesn't mean she's an angel. There are men that God will lead to go and marry a very wicked woman. Say amen if you want to say amen. Okay, let the lady say amen on your behalf. Hey, so everybody say, Pastor, what are you talking about? She loves God, she has just not been trained. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me say something to you. One of the things I learned in life, they were not the earliest messages I learned in life, but it's a very important message. It was not the message of faith. It's a message, or it's the truth that God actually loves other people apart from me. Sounds funny. You know, unconsciously, you thought that once that God has to give you the best. Do you understand my point? If God is giving you a wife, it must be the best girl in the world. She does not know how to insult her husband. Do you understand? She knows how to take care. She's very respectful. You know, in fact, she read Should I Say Yes before she was born. So since she was a child, so she learned how to honor a man. All right? Maybe you're a woman. This, if you learned faith the way I did that time, you're so sure that the best husband in the world is yours. This is a man that, before you hurt yourself, he has put his foot down there and collected the heat for you. You understand? He has money, plenty of it. He never makes a mistake in judgment. If he says, honey, don't go that direction. Before you know what's happening, you just see that fire is burning there. And he knew ahead of time. Oh God, the man knows God. When he wants to preach, he knows how to preach, even though he's not a preacher. When he wants to sing, he knows how to sing, even though he's not a musician. Oh, the guy is just perfect. In fact, as they walk out with him for road there, all the other women would just they envy you like this. Oh, girl, you try. And they said, claim me by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you draw him by faith on the wall. Amen. Unconsciously, you know what he has said? The other people, God doesn't love them. It's only you God loves. I know what I'm saying. I learned, not too late, but one of the later lessons I learned, that if there's a very beautiful car here and an ugly one here, and two of us are believing God for it, God is likely to give the other person first before he gives me. I learned that one. No, do you hear what I said? It's in the scriptures. The Bible says, prefer one another in love. I suddenly realized that I'm not the only one God wants to bless. I'm not. If there are 10 cars in the market and we are 10 brothers, God will give me the ugliest one because I'm the toughest guy. I learned that one. That is the one that breaks down every 5 minutes is my portion. Because my brother, who is not as tough as me, has to get the one that can't break down. I learned not to whine. If only you were around. That deal. Oh, Pakabada Shagaya. By now, you'll have been a billionaire. You know what I learned? Where's the deal? It has gone. God has to make many billionaires. I can't wait for my turn. The other guy, go and collect it. I learned that I'm not the only one God wants to bless. Are you getting my point? If you get all the jobs in the world, then all of us must come to you to beg. Is that not so? Listen, you don't have the capacity to take care of all of us. So let it go round. Let it go round. What did I say? Let it go round. Rejoice when somebody else is blessed. Now, that's just another message. But this is what I'm making. Therefore, the sister that has a, how do I describe it? A character problem. But who God still loves? Who's the husband that God will give her?
The toughest bubble. You know? One brother, I saw him yesterday. Slept over in our house 2 days ago, sorry. When he was leaving in the morning, you know, that on Tuesday actually, he left on Wednesday morning. I told him, I said, you know, I still use you to preach. He said, what, sir? I said, you're the one that heard that I was going to marry Sister Ofoma, you felt sorry for me. He told me years later, I said, Oga, when I heard you were engaged to Sister Ofoma, I said, hi, Pastor Banky. Now, wow, the grace of God, shall. He said, Oga, you know why? He said, I've seen this, your wife, handle men before. And when she handles brothers like this, eh, for fellowship, you're going to say, oh, my, all that day. He said, and you know, for him, I was a nice and gentle guy. You don't know the true character, you know. When a guy wears suit, many things are covered. And you know, actually, the day he told me the thing was that we went for our convention. And my wife wanted to carry something from the car into the hotel room. And someone wanted to get something from her. So she walked up to me first and asked. So he noticed that she was asking permission to go and move the things. And I, after some time, I said, listen, baby, I can't carry stuff. I said, don't worry now, Sunday will carry it. I said, okay. So now she taps somebody and say, hi. See respect. You understand my point? See respect. Now I contemplate him later and say, oh God, I didn't know this could happen. No. That I actually thought that you don't buy job. Now, I'm going somewhere. Look, listen, my wife is a very, look, I mean, if God gives me 25,782 opportunities, I will marry my wife again. And then if he gives me another 1 million opportunities on top of that, I will do it again. All right? What am I trying to say? Bro, with the watch from outside, he said, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit is not with this girl. So you know what God did? My wife, not necessarily to take you preach, so that all these men and young women can be blessed. Amen? I said this half jokingly, because I actually believe it. I told my wife, do you know what? If you didn't marry me, you would not have lived long. And I wasn't, not really a joke. I said, I don't look the way you did behave. Most of them don't just jam you one day, shah. Wah! Because you don't always look before you cross. I'm paraphrasing it now. I said, listen, I have noticed that it's not only me that God loves. So he said, Banky, I am going to give you a woman that you have to teach the word of God. I didn't know this, so I was just falling in love. Then I got up from love, looked with my eyes, I still love the love. So, and now I'm married. The Lord is good. Yes, listen, I like one thing Miles Monroe said long ago. Hey, I've left my Moses message now. I'm teaching on marriage. The Lord is good. I know you're all very happy. I know you are very happy now. I've been writing many books. Should I say yes? When people want to buy it now, 50 they go buy it. They go, God, 50, should I say yes like this? I wrote Great Faith Can Be Yours. They go buy one copy, put them for pocket. Waka Komot. How to Work for God. They go manage buy two. Waka Komot. Hey, should I say yes? I just carry a book like this. Say, where they go? I go wedding. So I know you're enjoying it. The Lord is good. Uh-huh. Now, this is what I'm making. So Miles Monroe said that there was nothing that God gave Adam that was perfect. You may have thought everything was in order. He said, but no. God said, guard it and what? Keep it. He was meant to cultivate and till the land. So Miles Monroe was saying in that book, motivating men to take their place in life, in that message, a video message I listened to many years ago, that when you, and I wrote something like that in that book, that what a woman becomes, now this is my own words, now these are my own words, what a woman becomes is a product of either what the man did or refused to do. Are you getting my point? Yes. Either what he did or what he refused to do, but whatever it is, it's his responsibility. It is his duty. It is assignment. So Miles Monroe said then, he said, every woman, turn to your husband and say, cultivate me, baby. You understand that? It is your duty to cultivate. It's your duty to cultivate. Without knowing this, what I did was I had my principles, all right, talking about me now as a person. And it was just the word of God we just used. I remember the first, even before we married, my wife was tired of hearing the gospel. I'm talking about Miles Monroe now. He said, cultivate her. Cultivate her. So I will take the word of God and be sharing. And there's one thing I want to teach every man. That's a matter of, look, don't negotiate with your wife ever. Ever is a stupid thing to do.